We hear a lot about the evils of screen time, how it distracts us, it shortens our attention span, it's bad for our eyesight, and how spending too much time online or in front of a computer screen or a phone or a tablet can make us anxious. Dr. Alyssa Antal is a professor at Simon Fraser University who is actually trying to treat anxiety using some screen time, specifically video games. Very special video games, mind you. And with more on this, here's Jen Moss. And Jen is a writer and digital interactive producer who teaches creative writing for new media at UBC.
Well, it's a biofeedback app. It's called Mindful, and it's designed for tablet by Dr. Alyssa Antal. So she's an award-winning researcher. She's a professor at SFU's School for Interactive Arts and Technology. And the interesting thing is she has struggled with anxiety her whole life. And she's also the parent of a highly anxious son. So it's very personal for her, this app. Her son, Levi, he's a teen now. He's doing great. But when he was younger, he had a really tough time with school and peers and pretty much everything because of his anxiety.
Right.
Yeah. And so that experience prompted her to start working on technological solutions to improve the lives of vulnerable kids of all kinds. So she's worked on loads of interesting projects, and this particular app is what she's doing now. She's testing it at local elementary schools, and the early results are super interesting, Cheryl. They indicate that it really works to help children learn to calm their bodies and brains or self-regulate, which is what, you know, the psychologists say.
Right.
Yeah.
So what are the stats right now, Jen, on kids with anxiety? It seems to me that I hear an awful lot about it.
They're very high. We're told here in BC it's 1 in 7 youth. I've actually read in another source 1 in 4.
Wow, 1 in 4.
Yeah, so it's high. I mean, I'm a parent, and I see it all around me with young kids, younger and younger, it seems like. So the number one mental health problem for children and teens is anxiety. Big, big epidemic. And for myself and a lot of parents, it's not easy to get treatment for our kids who have anxiety in a timely manner. Mm. Like, there's great treatments out there, but you gotta wait. And I think that's in the city. So from what I understand, it's worse when you're outside the major centers. The waits are longer.
So how does this app work then exactly?
Okay, well, it involves a futuristic-looking headset, a computer game on an iPad or any kind of tablet, really, and a quiet room. But I think probably I should not get too technical and I should just let Dr. Antal explain it to you.
So we have a headset that the kids wear and it tells what's going on in their brain and it sends that through Bluetooth to a tablet that where the app runs. And there's a series of games. The simplest is called Pinwheel. So if you blow on a pinwheel, what happens?
It goes around.
Exactly. So if you blow on a pinwheel, your body calms down and your brain waves reflect that and that gets sent to the tablet and the pinwheel spins.
Okay, so they're blowing on kind of a virtual pinwheel and making it spin?
Yeah, they're blowing on a pinwheel on a screen and that makes their brain state calm down and then the pinwheel spins and they earn tokens in the game by doing that.
Okay, so it sounds pretty straightforward there. You got to see the app in action at a school. So what was that like, Jen?
Right. So I went out to Burnaby to Edmonds Elementary, which is one of the two schools where Dr. Antal was running her study. And this particular school is a great school. It caters to a lot of lower income refugee families, a lot of whom are dealing with a lot of trauma, PTSD from experiences that they've had in their home countries and also the stress when you move to a new country, right? So I met a bunch of really neat kids there, their teachers, the social workers who were hired to implement the testing. But I wanted to introduce Sean Gaster. He's the principal at Edmonds, really neat guy with a background in special ed. And I asked him to talk about the level of anxiety that he perceived in the kids at his school.
Being in a number of schools with different socioeconomic makeup and diversity, anxiety is definitely prevalent in all schools. You know, if it's at this school, it's a lot around basic needs. It's a lot about trauma. It's a lot about family of origin issues. You know, watching on the news. You know, as Mosul is being occupied, and our families have family members there, and the trauma experience that has on the parents, which then transfers to the kids. But there are kids in other schools that don't deal with those type of issues that also have a lot of anxiety, a lot of pressure placed on them to perform.
Yeah, like you're going to be a doctor, or you're going to be a lawyer.
Yes, and those pressures also, you know, transfer to the kids and their learning. There's also, especially in the Lower Mainland, a real push for parents, both parents, to be working, and you know, a real push for not as much family time, because families are busy doing structured, you know, pieces rather than spending time together. I think
that, well, they're trying to pay the rent.
Absolutely, those basic needs. And it's amazing, because one community I was in Burnaby had some of the highest socioeconomic status neighborhoods, yet in order for those parents to, you know, to achieve that, both of them were working, that often left a void for kids in the after-school hours especially.
Yeah, that pressure is intense.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting that no matter where you sit socioeconomic-wise, that pressure can feel just as intense. So it's widespread sort of across the board with kids these days.
So how are the students reacting to this technology, Jen?
Well, of course, they're all over it, Cheryl. Like, they totally love it. They own it. They get this. They've grown up with it.
Even, their language.
Yeah, even the kids from refugee families, the principal told me they surveyed the families, and they all have smartphones at home and stuff like that for the most part. So it's very accessible and familiar to them. And so the way it works is, the more they calm their bodies and relax their minds, the better they do at the game. So they get this sense of accomplishment, and they love it. One little boy I met named Ali seemed to be especially good at earning tokens in the game.
We have, like, games. They helped us to maybe when our friends hit us by accident. So last time my friend hit me by accident, I was thinking he's on purpose. So I take some deep breath and I calm my body.
Calm down your body, yeah. Yeah. What do we have to do?
We have to press here. And then we have to take some deep breath.
Look at that. All those little tokens are piling up in the corner in the jar. So you've got kind of a spinning, looks like a pinwheel. And as you took those breaths, you made all those tokens appear in the corner. Do you feel happy that you got those tokens?
Yeah.
Do you think this helps when you go back to the classroom after you do this? Do you feel like a little bit calmer and like you're ready to do some math?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you like school?
I love school.
And I really noticed how good the kids were at doing this game compared to me. Like, I did try it, and it's way more difficult than you would think. These kids have been training for several weeks, and it showed. You really had to trick your mind into an almost zen-like state, like kind of detached, like where you had to let go of desire for the tokens in order to win the tokens. So I was terrible at it.
It's good to have the biofeedback for that, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. That's right. You learn instantly when it's not working.
So is that one of the real values of using the screen here, as opposed to teaching strictly just mindfulness exercises?
Yes, it's that instantaneous feedback that the kids can see visually in front of them. So you can do all the meditation that you want, but it's no substitute for that kind of instantaneous feedback. It's like they can take a few moments out of their busy and stressful day. They can use the screen to help them relax and focus, and that's a good thing. So not all screens are good, but this one, you know, probably is.
Interestingly enough, yeah.
Yeah,
because I mean, since screens are often a source of anxiety. Yeah.
They can be. And I think it's different if, say, your kid is constantly checking her texts to see if any mean girls have texted anything. Like, that's a different kind of screen time. This is focused, positive, constructive screen time, and it's a totally different ball game. Dr. Antle says the whole neurofeedback thing, it's like having your own coach in your ear telling you when you're getting it right, which I think is
pretty cool. So I asked her why, if this is so great, which it seems to be, why don't we see more of this in schools? Like, why isn't it everywhere already?
Well, I think it is a normal part of kindergarten, but then there's this focus that starts to happen on academic subjects, on reading, writing, spelling, basic math. And we forget that if kids can't manage their emotions and focus their attention, they're not going to learn. So I don't know if these things were just ignored in the past or if they were taught in the home more or if we just had different ways of dealing with kids, maybe a little more authoritarian. And so they weren't taught, but I think it's really important. I think if kids aren't taught to self-regulate their anxiety and attention, to be able to be calm and focused in a classroom, they can't learn very well. So without teaching that, everything else isn't going to follow. I think it's critical that we teach kids social-emotional learning, and I think a lot of curriculums are starting to accept that and change that the way we think about learning is not just about academics, but life.
So it sounds like from what she's saying there that this app isn't the only answer either. This would be one part of self-regulation, if you will.
That's right. I mean, she's in no way arguing that apps are a substitute for human interaction or exercise or any of the other great things that can help combat anxiety, right? She's just saying that, look, according to her experiments, the app works to lower kids' cortisol levels, which is, you know, the stress hormone. And so therefore, it's a valuable tool to combat anxiety because really, it's something they can do themselves. If you have an anxious kid, there's often a lot of adults talking at them and around them and suggesting treatments and using big words, and it can feel a little bit disempowering. This is something in their world with a tool that they understand that they can do, you know, at will. Mm-hmm. And I think that in itself has a huge value.
Jen, thanks for bringing us this story.
You're so welcome, Cheryl.
That's Jen Moss, and she's a writer and digital interactive producer, and she teaches creative writing for new media at the University of British Columbia.